Well, this is a very special day. This is a day that maybe mothers don't have to work. I want all the mothers to stand up and let's honor all of the mothers. Yes. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You know, someone once said, if it was the father that bore the responsibility of birthing a child, we would have a severe population crisis. But you know, motherhood is maybe challenging, but it's an awesome gift that God has bestowed upon us. And so, you know, today we want to honor, Mother's Day comes on different days of the each year. It comes on a different day. Well, actually, the year that I was born, it was Mother's Day that day. So I told my mother later, you know, when I knew, I said, Mother, there is never a gift that I could give you that could outtop the one that I gave you when I was born. However, they were expecting a boy, so I don't know how happy they were with a girl. But I think afterwards, later, 9 years later, when they had a boy, they were thankful for me. But you know, today we honor one of the most powerful callings on earth, and that is motherhood. You know, it's a calling that it's demanding. It requires sacrifice. Sometimes it can be very emotional. Sometimes we cry happy tears, and sometimes we cry not so happy tears. Why? Because, you know, we love our children and we go through the emotions many times that they do as well as we are helping them during those times. And I can tell you, it is exhausting times. Yeah, you know, and yet it is deeply rewarding. So someone once said this, being a mom means you will never again have a complete thought. You start a sentence and someone needs something. You sit down and someone calls your name. You go to the restroom and suddenly it's a family meeting. Another mom said, I told my kids I cleaned the house for them, and they said, well, we didn't ask you to. Yeah, I'm sure it needed cleaning. Another mom said this, I finally figured out what mom brain is. It's when you walk into a room and forget why you came in, but you can remember every embarrassing thing your child has ever done. Yeah, sometimes they are embarrassing. You know, and we laugh about it. Many times we laugh about it to keep from crying, right, ladies? But underneath, the humor is a reality. You know, motherhood, it feels like a job with much responsibility and sometimes, you know, very little recognition. But I want to remind every mother today, heaven sees what earth overlooks. God values what others may forget. And I want you to know that your influence is greater than you may even realize at this point. Because you see, as a mother, you're not just raising children, you are shaping destinies. Let me say that again. As a mother, you don't just raise children, you are shaping destinies. You're shaping how they think, you're shaping how they respond, you're shaping who they will become. Let's turn over to 2 Timothy 1. Paul was admonishing Timothy. 1:5, 2 Timothy 1:5. It says, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. You know, Paul is saying, you know, Timothy didn't just stumble into faith. How was it imparted? First of all, it was imparted from the grandmother to the mother. And then the mother imparted that to her son, Timothy. That should tell something, you something about how powerful a mother is. You know, a mother's influence doesn't just affect a moment. Do you realize it affects generations after generations after generations? So this morning, let's look at seven things that make a powerful mother. Number one, a mother's influence is powerful. A mother's influence is powerful. A mother's influence is one of the strongest shaping forces in a children's life. You know, children, I love to teach children because they're just like sponges. But you need to make sure that what you're saying to them are the right things, because they will imitate and repeat what you say. You know, I can always tell what's happening in the home from the kids when I was working in the children's area, because you see, they absorb your attitudes, your reactions, your priorities, and your values. You know, I can always tell, like I say, what is said in the home. When I see a child that is very negative, a child has to learn those things. And so I know that there are negative things in that home. It's so very important to speak positive things. And you know, you may think, oh, I'm just doing everyday things. Well, your child is watching. And you realize that you are forming a life. What you value, you teach into them. I know that one of the things that my mother valued always, she loved to cook, and she always, I don't care if there was company there, if it was just she and my dad, she always made a beautiful table. Placemats, china, you know, nothing ever went on the table and what it was cooked in. Emptied the bowls. And you know, I saw that day after day after day. And my mother would always say, honey, it's so very important to have a beautiful table to set. You know, you've worked hard on the food, so it's so you must set a beautiful table. Well, I did do that, you know, and I set that example for my kids. After they left, and it was just two of us, sometimes I wasn't so meticulous in setting the table, you know. But every time that I wasn't, and still to this day, if nothing else, you can ask my husband, I have to put placemats, right? Even if we're sitting at the bar in the kitchen, I'm still putting a placemat there. Why? Because of my mother's influence. All of these years, all those years, it still rings in my head. There was a study done asking adults who influenced your life the most. The overwhelming answer was not a teacher, not a boss, not even a pastor. It was their mother. It was their mother. Why? Because you see, influence is not built in moments. It's built in consistency. That consistency, my mother was consistent. And even after my dad passed, and she was there alone in the house, she would still set a beautiful table. Consistency is so important. Influence happens in everyday life. So mothers, you know, when you choose patience over frustration, do you realize you are teaching? When you choose prayer over panic, you are teaching. When you choose faith over fear, you are teaching. You know, even though sometimes you don't feel like you're doing very much, you're still shaping your child's life. So realize you're not just raising children, you are shaping their life. Number two, a mother teaches the things of God. A mother teaches the things of God, building a spiritual foundation. Deuteronomy 6, starting with verse 5. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You know, one of the greatest responsibilities and privileges of a mother is to teach the children the things of God. And I know that fathers are involved too, but mothers are probably there more than the father. But you know, not just in words, but in daily life. You know, God never intended for spiritual training of your child just to be at church. Though we train your children very well at church. You know, I will ask my great-grandson, what did you learn at 4 years of old? He can tell me what he learned in church. But God also designed us to teach in our home. When you're sitting, when you're walking, when you're starting the day, when you're ending the day. You know, as a family, when our children were young, every morning before they had breakfast and then going to school, well, actually Craig was going to school, Denise was still home, we would read faith food. And then we would make our confessions. The children were seeing an example. And then when they got older, to where that they could read, both of them could read, we read the one-year Bible together. We talked about, and that was at dinner time, we talked about their day. We shared, they shared, and it was just an awesome time. I love that time. And so by the time both of the kids were gone, we had read the Bible through, 10 times, eight times. And you know, of course, the chapter that I planted so strongly in my kids were 91st Psalm. In fact, one time Denise said to somebody, she said, you know, they were telling her of a situation. She said, well, you just need to claim the 91st Psalm. And they said, what does the 91st Psalm say? She said, you don't know what the 91st Psalm says. And of course, you know, that goes on down as Denise, you know, told her children and prayed every night with her children. And one time she was praying and with Wesley, and he said, you didn't say, quote the 91st Psalm, pray over the 91st Psalm. And she said, oh. And so he said, I don't know what it means, but just pray it. I can't go to sleep until you pray it. Oh my. Proverbs 22:6 says this, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. You know, that doesn't mean that they won't have struggles, but it means that they have a foundation to come back to. They have a foundation to come back to. You know, it's like building a house. If the foundation is strong, then the house will stand during times of storms. But if the foundation is weak, the house will shift. Mothers, one day your child will leave your house. Sometimes that can be a sad day because some of our duties are gone, but remember, they will never leave your foundation. They will never leave your foundation. What you build into them spiritually today will sustain them tomorrow. So it's important to, as I said, pray with them. Talk about God daily. You know, we would work through issues at school, and, you know, we would talk about how to do that with the help of the Lord, how to find favor with man, just as we find favor with God. You know, let them see your relationship with the Lord, because one day they will live what you have built into them. Remember, we're not raising children just to succeed in life, just to become a better citizens, just to have good careers, although, you know, all of those things are important. But we are raising them to put God first, to love Him with all of their heart, to obey His word, to honor Him, to walk with Him personally. You know, the scripture that my mom always just drilled into me, Matthew 6:33. And I can only quote it in the King James Version because I heard it quoted so many times. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these other things shall be added unto you. And they would always tell me, Lynette, if you'll just seek God first, everything else will fall in place. So it's so important that we place God first in our lives. Going to church is very, very important. You know, it wasn't about, are we going? It was about, what time are we leaving? And my grandkids know how important that church is. Because if they're not here, they get a text, where are you? Yeah. It's so important to be in church. It's so vitally important that we place God first in our life, because everything in life is built on that foundation. Number three, motherhood requires sacrifice. Oh, wow. Motherhood is one of the most sacrificial roles in our life. It costs us our time, our energy. Sometimes we sacrifice our personal dreams at times, our comfort. One mom said this, I used to go to the bathroom alone. Now I have an audience. Another one said, I thought I was busy before kids. Then I had kids and realized I used to have hobbies, free time, and most of all, silence. I remember one time, I think Denise was 4 at the time, and so I had, that day had just not gone as I had thought it would go. I was just up to here. I was just had it. But I had, you know, fixed dinner. We had had dinner. But after dinner, the kids and Pastor usually always helped in cleaning up the kitchen. So they were cleaning up the kitchen, and I just decided to go into the family room and just lay down on the couch. They were so quiet. Everybody was so quiet. And it was like, oh, this is great. Silence, you know. When all of a sudden, I still had my eyes closed. And so all of a sudden, I heard steps. And it was Denise, 4 years of age. She came over to me and she kissed me and said, Mommy, we're going to leave for a little while so you can have some peace and quiet. So they were sensitive that I needed some peace and quiet. You know, but true love is proved through sacrifice. Jesus said in John 15:13, he says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You know, mothers live this on a daily basis. Staying up when a child is sick, giving when you're already tired, putting other things before yourself. You know, so often others don't see the unseen sacrifices that you make. No one's there to applaud you and saying, you know, oh, thank you for the midnight prayers that you've prayed. No one sees sometimes the tears that you cry for your children. No one tracks the times that you have denied yourself. But guess what? No one on this earth does, but God does. He sees it, and he is there for you. And he gives us a word that I think that is so important to lean on, and that's Galatians 6:9. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. You know, you may be in a season of sacrifice. It's a busy season when your children are at home. It's a busy season when they're little. I always said if children were born 3 years of age, I might have had more children. Because sometimes it was frustrating when, you know, your child was crying and couldn't tell you what was wrong. But I want to encourage you, don't grow weary if you're in that busy season. Savor every moment, because those moments pass so fast. Every season of your child's life, whether they're just being born, they're in elementary or high school, you know, just enjoy every season, because I want to tell you those seasons pass so quickly. Pass so quickly. And don't believe that, you know, all the sacrifices that you've made is wasted, because they're not. Don't think that it doesn't matter, because it does. Later in life, they will remember, and you will reap later what you are sowing now. Number four, a mother's work often goes unnoticed, but not unrewarded. You know, let's be honest. Sometimes motherhood can, you know, feel like it's thankless. No one thinks of us. Everybody thinks about themselves. You know, you clean up, it's messy again. You cook, and then they're hungry again. I know one time, it's like we were eating breakfast, and as we were eating breakfast, Craig says, what are we going to have for lunch? I said, finish your breakfast first. Yeah. You give, and then they need something else. And you repeat 47 times a day the same thing, over and over and over and over. A child once says, Mom, you don't work, you just stay home. Well, I'm sure that mom probably needed a moment with Jesus after that. As Brother Bill would say, we're going to have a come to Jesus meeting. No, a mom does work 24 hours a day. A mom once said, I just want to be organized as my kids think I am. Another one said this, I cleaned the entire house and then my kids came home. Yeah, I know that. Yeah, especially when the kids were young, you know, and they would have all their toys out, and Pastor would be at work. It was when they were little. And so, you know, I tried to estimate when he was going to come home to clean up everything, because he does like everything clean and in order. And sometimes I would misjudge that, and they would have their stuff out. Yeah, you clean, and then it gets messed up again. Hebrews 6:10 says, for God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love. You know, motherhood is like planting seeds. When you plant a seed, you don't see growth immediately. No, you know, when you plant a seed in the ground, you don't see, and you know, food, you don't see that. You plant in your garden, you don't see that immediately. You don't see the results of that immediately, but that doesn't mean that nothing is happening. You know, Rob likes to plant a garden, and I love his food that I get to benefit from that. I love okra, and he brings me okra. But you know, when he plants that seed, this okra's not there. But something is working, right? Something is developing. The same thing. Something's happening beneath the surface. The same thing is happening with your children. When you are planting seeds, though it may not look like, there are things happening below the surface. And it will turn out positive. You know, you remember that even when you feel overwhelmed, even when you feel unappreciated, even when you feel unnoticed, your children may overlook all that you do for them. They may not, say thank you right now. They may not always listen. They may not always appreciate it. But I want to tell you, the time will come as they grow up, that they will appreciate what you have done for them, the sacrifices that you have made. Number five, a godly example speaks louder than words. A godly example speaks louder than words. Children don't just listen to what you say. They watch what you do. They don't just listen to what you say, they watch what you do. Now, this is not what my mother did, but my brother, my dad had this bad habit that when he took off his socks, they were dirty socks, you know, but instead of taking them to the laundry room and putting them in the laundry hamper, he would put them under the bed. For whatever reason, I don't know. Well, my brother would watch him do that. So my mother would have to gather up all those socks. Obviously, he had quite a few. Would gather all those socks, wash them, fold them. So one day, she said to my brother, Gary, go put these socks up of your dad's. You know where he put them? Under the bed. That's the only place he had ever seen them, was under the bed. Guess what? That taught my dad a lesson. He never put his socks under the bed again. You know, children, watch what you do. Watch what you do. I know that Denise would always play. She would get her dolls and she would have school. She would, you know, and she had this, oh, it was, what was it? Dial stick or something, and you know, she would use it, and she would gather her kids, her dolls there, and she would teach them, and I could hear sometimes, and you know what, she was saying exactly the words that she had heard me say to her at times. So they watch what you do. A little boy was asked what he learned at church. He said, I learned that God is everywhere. His mother said, well, son, that's wonderful. The little boy replied, yes, and now I know he's watching when you drive. Wow. What are you saying in your car? That comes home sometimes. Yes. Are you getting upset at the drivers who can't hear you? Well, your child can hear you, right? Children are always watching. Long after words are forgotten, a mother's example does remain. Billy Graham once said that his greatest earthly influence was his mother, not because that she preached sermons, but because she lived one. I want to say that again. Not because she preached sermons, but because she lived one. You know, a child will hear you say, trust God, but are you really trusting him when things are going wrong? You know, a child will hear, be kind, but are you kind to others? Child's watching how you're treating others. One child said this, my mother says, don't yell. But she yells it really loud. Yeah. I have to tell this, honey, I'm sorry. One time, Pastor, he was docking a boat, and so he was kind of yelling at Craig and the other person that's helping him. I don't know whether it was Don or not, but anyway. And so Craig said, Dad, don't yell. And he said, I'm not yelling. It's amazing sometimes that we don't realize what we really are doing. Your life is a living sermon in your home. You're modeling faith. You're modeling character. You're modeling integrity. You're teaching that to your children. So important to do that. Ask yourself the question, do my children see me pray? Do they see me read the Bible? I know one time that Denise was at her table reading the Bible, and she was marking scriptures in yellow just as she saw me do. And all of a sudden, Wesley came in. I don't know how. He was probably three or four. Was he four? Wesley came in, and he said, Mom, what are you doing? And she said, I'm reading the Bible. Well, what are you doing with that marker? Well, I'm marking things that are important to me, that God is speaking to me. And so he said, can I do that? She said, yeah. So he goes and gets his Bible, gets a yellow crayon, opens the Bible, and I don't know what verse he came to, but he marked it in yellow. Examples. So important. Do your children see consistency? You know? Are you one way one time, one day, and the next day some other way? It's so important to be consistent. Do they hear you say, I'm sorry? When you mess up sometimes, we all do. We all do. Do they see humility? Because you see, what they see, they will become. Perfection is not required, but authenticity is powerful. Be genuine. You don't have to be perfect, but it's so important to be genuine. Number 6, a mother's words carry lasting power. A mother's words carry lasting power. Do you realize that words shape identity? Children often become what they consistently hear. There are adults still struggling because the words that they heard over and over and over in their household was, you'll never succeed. You're not good enough. You're too dumb. And every time that they attempt something, those words that have been planted come back to them. It's important to speak positive words. You know, there are people now that are thriving because their mother said, you are strong. You are successful. You can do whatever God has planned for you. I know we always taught the kids that. And as pastor would take them to school, because I was cleaning up after cooking, you know, he would always say to them, have a good day. Know that you are a success and know that God is always there with you. It's important to do that. And like I say, as I always told the children, you know, wherever you are, if you're in harm's danger, know that the 91st Psalm is protecting you, because the 91st Psalm says that no harm can come near you. No harm can come near you. One time, I think Denise was about four, she was about five and her friend was four, and this little friend was always talking about monsters. And, you know, trying to make Denise afraid. And so, you know, Denise would come to me and I said, "No, honey, there are no monsters here. No monsters can't get you." And so one day, happened over and over, and one day, as the little girl was talking about monsters, Denise had just had it. And she said, "Michelle, over in the 91st Psalm, it says that no monsters can come near you." And then, do you know what? As a five-year-old, then she said, "Do you know Jesus as your Savior?" And Michelle said, "Huh?" And she said, "Have you ever asked Jesus in your heart?" And she said, "No." And so Denise said, "Do you want to ask Jesus in your heart?" This is a five-year-old. This is what she's seen in church. Every day we were in church more than any place else. And so she led her little friend in the sinner's prayer at five. You know, a mother's words can build confidence, can shape their identity, and can speak their destiny into being. Many successful people can trace their confidence back to a mother who said, "You can do it. You can do it." Proverbs 18:21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." So speak encouragement even when you're correcting. Speak identity, not just behavior. Speak destiny, not just discipline. You know, instead of saying you always mess up, say, "You know, I know you're better than that." And so let's act like what you really are. Your words are not just communication. They are construction. Your words echo long after they are spoken. So it's so very important to choose your words carefully. And last, number seven, a praying mother shapes generations. There's nothing more powerful than a praying mother. The last part of James 5:16 says, "The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." You know, many men and women, many great men and women can trace their story back to a praying mother. Because you see, mother's prayers can go where you cannot physically go. You may not can physically go into situations that you can't control, but prayer can. Into hearts that you can't change, but prayer can. Into futures that you cannot see, but prayer can. You know, and I've always taken the scripture over Philippians 4, because we can be kind of anxious sometimes when we see children maybe not going down the path that we thought that they should be going or that God had planned for them. But Philippians 4:6 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." So you see, prayer is the most important thing, because you invite God into the process. And prayer changes situations. So I would admonish you, pray when they're young. Pray when they're rebellious. That time may come. Pray when they're grown. Never stop praying for your children. And that goes down from not only your children, and then your grandchildren, and then your great-grandchildren, and on and on and on. Your prayers today can shape their tomorrows. So, mothers, I want you to hear this. You know, you may feel tired. You may feel overlooked. You may feel unappreciated at this moment. You may be questioning, am I doing enough? I mean, you know, people are having large families, and that's a big responsibility. But I want you to remember this. Your influence, you're shaping lives, you're shaping characters, you're impacting that child for eternity. So be intentional in your example, in your words, in your prayers, and in your consistency. Because you see, what you do today will echo for generations to come. So endeavor to allow God to speak you on, to speak to you. I know that always in raising our kids, I always said, God, show me what to do, give me the wisdom, and show me how to do that in their lives. Open the doors. If I am to be in an influence in a certain situation, open the doors for me to speak in their lives. So know that you have so much influence in shaping the next generation. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for every mother, for every sacrifice, Father, those things that have seen and those that are unseen, for every prayer spoken, for every act of love that's been given without recognition. Father, I thank you that you will strengthen these precious mothers today. Those that have become discouraged, encourage them. Restore joy to those that joy has been there, that heaviness has been there, joy has been lost. Remind every mother that she is called. Not only is she called, but she's equipped, and that she is making a difference in their lives. Thank you, Father, that you will help her to be that godly example, to speak life, to speak positive words, to walk in wisdom, Father, just as I have asked you for that. Father, I thank you that you are no respecter of persons, and you will give that to them as well. And Father, I asked that they will learn to trust you in every season. Some seasons that look so hard, some seasons that look so impossible, and yet I thank you that they will learn to trust you. And Lord, we thank you that her godly influence will reach far beyond her home, but into generations to come, that she may never see, but that influence will go from generation to generation to generation. And we shall give you all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You know, I've been speaking to mothers today, but perhaps you are here today and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior. If you would like to do that today, there's never a better time than right now. I would ask you just to stand up if you have never accepted Christ as your Savior. Or maybe you once knew Him, but you've walked away from Him as the prodigal son walked away from the father. God is asking you, come back home. Come back home. And if that's you, Stand up now. Today is your day. A mother may have been praying for you. Give her the very best Mother's Day gift she could ever have. And that is to return to your Lord and Savior. Do I see anyone? Do I see anyone standing? Ushers, do you see anyone? Well, let's all stand up. Father, I thank you. If there be one that needs to accept you as their Savior, or that needs to come back home to you, Father, I thank you that they cannot eat, sleep, think, or do anything else until they come and receive you as their Lord and Savior. And we thank you for it now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Well, connection team, if you want to get into the aisle, pastoral staff, you can go to the doors. First time guest, we want to give you a gift. Don't forget, tonight, 6 o'clock, come. We'll have a great time in the Lord. Have a great afternoon, and fathers, I trust that you will do something special for that mother who works so hard for you. God bless you. We'll see you tonight. And show me.